Okay, a very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 19th July 2020, Sunday. Yeah? We will be continuing from where we stopped. Yeah, following this book, The Path to Truth for the Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner. Mm. So this book is a very good book. Yeah? We are at page 110. Yeah? The title is very unique today, giving without expectation. You can do this, you will have a lot of joy, you will receive a lot of blessing and understanding. You will feel a lot of joy if you're able to give without expectation. That way you can help somebody, or your kindness, your goodness, your generosity can bring about condition to relieve suffering, to improve people's life, to save life. All this will bring about a lot of joy, and it's a very meritorious type of action. So service above self, the meaning is quite similar. There is no mark of a self doing. Your service is universal. When there is a need, when there is condition to arise, to help, you help. So giving is one of the very effective way, because generosity paved the way for a lot of good things and wholesome things to arise. Without generosity, the world suffer. You look at nature. Nature is very generous. Nature just give, give and give. Whereas humanity, most human beings, everything is about benefits, profit, or reward. So everything is like they need to put a value to charge people who use it. Whereas nature, they continue to give. The way they give is really universal. They don't choose. When condition arise, nature will just give, give and give. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the resources of nature that we receive as our food, our sustenance, as our building material, to build houses, to build roads, to build hospital, to build all the infrastructure, to build all the useful things that human being needs, all come from nature. Yeah. Then even the tree, they endure the sunlight to provide the shade for us below. So if we are observant in life, we can learn a lot of things. There is a lot of Dhamma in life itself. That's the reason why I always share with you what my teacher used to tell me. Life itself is our greatest teacher. Without going through life, you can never learn, you can never understand. All of relationship that we experience them in life. Not only relationship with our fellow humanity, our relationship with nature, with the environment, with all things that we come to have relationship with, they can actually be a great learning for us. It is through relationship that we can see our own greed, our own selfishness, our own delusion, emotional negativity, etc. Then when we are observant, we know how to reflect, contemplate, and we develop virtue like gratitude, contentment, joy, happiness, sincerity, kindness and goodness, it will bring forth wholesomeness, It will help the world. It will help us to look at the world differently. We will confront the whole environment, all of humanity differently. We will learn to contribute. We will not destroy. We will not just take. We give back to society because we have gratitude, we have joy, we have respect. And all these are part of Dhamma cultivation, having virtue, doing our duty, taking care of our moral precepts and values. If we take care of our precepts, we actually protect ourselves and protect others. Because when you keep your precept, you don't create karmic negativity. Then you don't kill and harm people. You don't hurt people. You don't deceive people. You don't cause suffering and misery and affliction to people. Then you are not heedless. So it's like under this pandemic, COVID-19, you wear masks is to protect yourself and protect others. So there is a reason why you keep your precept. It's like the medical professional advise you to wear masks. The risk of contact, even you confront a COVID-19 person, is reduced so much by that mask. So likewise, if you keep your precept, you actually protect yourself very well. And by protecting yourself, you also protect others, where you don't spread whatever germs or virus that you have out to the atmosphere and affect others. So these are very special Dhamma that you can learn. You can evolve our life through your observant ability. And to be observant, you need to be mindful. You need to be attentive. You need to be ever mindful. That is what heedfulness is all about. So this topic, I feel, can help you when you understand. So even though here he said, giving without expectation, which is good, which is very, very good advice. But you can give not only without expectation, without the mark of a being giving, that is even more profound. That is even more difficult to realize. So giving has many levels. Even the Buddha also explained the three basic levels of giving. According to the Buddha, the first thing that you can do as generosity is to give materialistic things to people, to help people, to benefit people. So this is materialistic giving. Then the second one is the gift of life, to help people who are sick, like blood donation, organ donation. You pledge a lot of important things that can lead to people's recovery from disease, sickness, and their health problem and issues. So the gift of life is the second level of gift. But there is a third level of gift, the Buddha said, which is the highest among them all. The gift of truth, Dhamma Dana. The gift of truth, which is the Dhamma, that one is priceless. The moment people receive this Dhamma, they not only survive and liberate their mind this life, they become a blessing to all. They develop wholesomeness. And this will be their virtue, their good karma, that will protect them and guide them in future life. So Dhamma is priceless. It can help you life after life. Without Dhamma, you are heedless. You are as if dead. Spiritually, you are dead. Then every life you come, you become afflicted, you suffer, you become miserable. Then like today, there's a sharing by Christina, which is quite good. You look at the way she developed the understanding, it's very interesting. She is so simple, she said, her limited understanding. But this is what she learned, and it's so beautiful. Maybe I read and share so that others can understand. It is something very, really meaningful. You give me a minute, I open up the apps. Okay. You listen, by Christina. My limited understanding. When we live our life heedlessly, with a lot of worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, we are not living life at all, because we cannot see and feel the beauty of life and existence when we are in such mind states. We are deluded, clouded by all this sankhara activity, wrong view, delusion. That's why it will lead to clinging, grasping onto things like our loved ones, even our enemy, and we felt agitated. We become aggressive and our mind restless most of the time. Ability to free our mind from all these evil roots of jealousy, greed, hatred and delusion, even grudges, revengefulness, etc. is very useful. We should occupy our precious moment cultivating goodness, wholesomeness, by constantly listening to the Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teaching. Then when we help others, helping others sincerely, cultivate good and appropriate right speeches, right thought and right action with right intention and good morality. They are very useful and very important. So in short, is it be virtuous, be sincere, be truthful and have love, especially loving ourselves more and more, by not breaking any precept. Through not breaking precept, you not only love yourself, you also love others. Then extend your love. Then he said, sadhu, happy cultivation, and have a great weekend ahead. Isn't it beautiful? From a Kayamita who just listened, then come out with this understanding. She was able to... Sorry for the interference. It's from the big C or what? The handphone. He think I request for something. So she was able to do that was because I think yesterday he brought two friends over and invited me and my wife and my daughter for lunch. We had a very beautiful Dhamma discussion also during that lunch. We go for vegetarian and the place was very quiet. Then we had this very beautiful discussion. That's why she was full of gratitude. And she wrote to me. Then later on, I think she also did a sharing on the WhatsApp. So this part also I read to you maybe on the WhatsApp. She wrote to me this short message. He said, Brother Theo, with utmost gratefulness for your teaching and guidance to us all. Salutation to your wise and noble way of handling matter in such a pure, peaceful and equanimity state of mind. May all benefits from your teaching that will lead us all to peaceful and harmonious life associated with all. Sadhu and rejoice. Then all the three also separately wrote to me personally and they were very grateful. Yes, what we shared was simple life experiences and issues. We discussed life issues that most of these people have actually experienced the ups and downs of life. They experienced many situations which are not so pleasant and mainly part of the First Noble Truth reality. Then I start to share, I start to explain. I say when you understand the Dhamma, you understand life, and life is very simple. When you have the understanding, you will appreciate life, you will live life, you will not allow yourself to be entangled by all this wrong thought leading to all the suffering, the misery, the stress and the agony, the affliction. Your wrong thought condition, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation. Then you develop the evil roots of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, deep resentment, until you become so miserable that most people enter depression and become really, really miserable and afflicted. The reason being, their mind states are always holding on to all those things, like Christina say. They attach to all these things that happen, thinking that it's real. Then through thought, through memory, they recall. So this is accumulation leading to grasping, clinging at the cause of suffering. Because craving is very strong. When you want things your way, when you cannot accept the reality that happened, the First Noble Truth will afflict you, will haunt you, where you confront them without understanding. But life is so much more than that. Why must you hold on to all this wrong thought rubbish that torture you, torment you, and make you miserable? Means you don't love yourself, you don't value your life, and you can't see that these are mental suffering. The amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation that you go through, your deep resentment and suffering. I say all this will make you miserable. Why can't you forgive and forget? When you love yourself, the moment you forgive, you free yourself. Why can't you see this? Then one of the friends say, how can I forgive him? Because he did such thing to us. Then I ask her, if you hold on to the anger, the hatred, what will happen to you? Are you happy? Are you peaceful? Then she realized, no, she has insomnia. She has a lot of misery, suffering. Then life was like completely destroyed. I later explained, I said, you already hate him so much, and yet you hold on to all this negativity of emotion and thought, and you wasted so much time and energy on him and make yourself more miserable. Isn't that delusion? Isn't that foolish? Isn't that heedlessness? But if you can forgive by following what I teach, asking for forgiveness and repentance, not necessarily towards that person, you can recite a general one. Whosoever from the distant past, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused them suffering, misery, or whatever, misunderstanding, or misled, or hurt. This nature of mind would like to sincerely apologize and seek forgiveness. And may my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. Then may all beings be well and happy. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with them. So if you can recite this, you feel good. Because the moment you ask for forgiveness, you actually free yourself. your anger, your hatred, your misery, all this is gone. And how do we do it? Through right view with regards to the law of karma. When we understand the law of karma, like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So you look at that statement, our life is entirely dependent on karma. Because we are born of it, we inherit everything. And karma support and condition us. Then we are what we are every moment, every instant because of karma. So when I understand that, the most important thing in life is to take care of karma. If I take care of karma, karma take care of my life. Because you reap what you sow. Whatever you do, be it wholesomeness or defilement or evil things, you reap what you sow, it will come back to you. When you are generous, you give to your nature, you will receive it back in various ways. But when you harm people, kill people, deceive people, and do all this immoral thing, the funny thing, that cause affliction and suffering and misery and deep intense fear to people. When the karmic friction come, maybe not this life, in future life, you become the victim and you will suffer the same way. So when I explain this, they start to understand. Because in the past when you did all this to harm people, to cause suffering and misery and affliction to people, this is what your karmic actions are. Then when it comes to friction, you become the victim, you experience the suffering, the misery and the fear that you inflict on others. And that is how you should understand it. So when you understand it, then you tell yourself, this is the nature's law, karma. It's very fair. There is nothing unfair about it. It's nothing to do with right or wrong. We are in the past through ignorance. We did all this. That's why ignorance is very dangerous. Ignorance is not a bliss. So always remember whatever action, speech or thought process that you arise, it has its consequence, karmic effect, karmic consequence. So be mindful, be heedful, be tactful, never to violate the nature's law. Follow the advice of the Buddha, keep your precept, avoid all evil. Then develop wholesomeness, cultivate noble eightfold path. These are your merits, your spiritual, your whatever karmic inheritance. Then you have blessing, goodness, wholesomeness. All this will come back to you in various ways, which are so beautiful and so marvelous. So when you understand the law of karma, you will know how to live your life. You will know how to attend to all these things. Then you do what you have to do. Because through this right view, you accept the reality of the moment because it's all coming. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are these causes and conditions? They are the law of karma, which the Buddha have explained under the five daily contemplation, the fifth one. So this right view will liberate your mind, will give you the right understanding. Then after you ask for forgiveness or you do the repentance, it will have a very profound effect because this will break the karmic obstruction. Otherwise you cannot recover. Very difficult for you to turn around because the karmic obstruction will obstruct you and prevent you from receiving understanding or truth because you reap what you sow, you have to go through the suffering. But the moment you ask for forgiveness, this karmic obstruction is like being slowly watered down and removed. Once it's removed, there is nothing to obstruct you. Then whatever that has the condition to come by to help you, you can receive. You can really benefit. That's how you turn around. Then when you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, you prevent negative karma from arising in the future. From that moment onward, you become different. Means you protect yourself through keeping the precept. And by doing that, you also protect others from getting hurt, getting harmed, or getting afflicted. So through this, it is what the Buddha called karma. You don't kill people, you don't deceive people, you don't cheat people, you don't cause affliction to people. You will not be cheated, you will not be deceived, you will not be harmed and killed. You will not be afflicted by all this because there is no karmic friction for you to reap. So keeping precept is a virtue. That's why the Buddha said, precept is a source of spiritual wealth, spiritual peacefulness, and also precept is also a source of what they call they used to chant under the chanting silena sukanti yanti, silena bhoga sampadan, silena nibunting yanti. So the first one is spiritual joy and spiritual peacefulness of mind is the last one. The second one is spiritual wealth. So when you have these three, your life becomes very peaceful. Because you will have a lot of joy when you keep your precept. Because you don't harm, you don't kill. You don't have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. You don't have to worry about police coming to catch you, summon you, charge you in court, you know. Because you don't deceive, no CBT, nothing. You don't commit sexual misconduct. You don't partake in intoxicant. Nowadays, driving drunk, caught, very severe punishment. No more simple fine and compound. Now they charge you in court straight away. And the law has changed. The penalty is very heavy now. So be careful. Do not drink if you can. Avoid alcohol or liquor or drugs, because this can cause your downfall. So when you have all this understanding, you become beautiful. Then you meditate, you purify your mind, you develop wholesome mind state, you become heedful. When you are heedful, your mind is no longer heedless, no longer agitated, no longer carrying all those burden of life, the negativity of mind state that heedless people experience. You are most of the time peaceful, calm, tranquil, mindful, ever mindful, with a lot of joy, understanding, clarity. And this is what life is all about. Then you can live life. You can experience the beauty and wonders of life. All these are very real, very tangible. Can be received, can be realized, can be experienced. And life is very meaningful, very wonderful. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful. If you have the mindfulness, the wisdom and the understanding, there is so much clarity in life, so much joy. And you can really live and experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. And life need not be just those memory of the past. Because the memory of the past is like deadly, dead and gone. Then why do you still cling on to them, hold on to them, and allow it to condition your insecurity, your fear, your scars of memory, your misery, your unhappy moments, your lamentation and all those things? All this is due to your wrong thought, your self-delusion that condition all those mental states. Instead, cultivate Dhamma. Develop wholesome mind state. Develop joy. peacefulness, calmness, tranquility, contentment, gratitude, love, compassion. Have kindness, have generosity, have goodness. Contribute to the world, be a blessing to all. Learn to help people. When you can help people relieve their suffering, save a life, there is a lot of joy. And that's why today's topic is very meaningful. Okay, now I come back to today's topic. Okay, I will read on and you will understand. So giving without expectation. Because of our attachment to things, many afflictions and negativity of karma arise. And this is what Christina mentioned just now, which is very true. When you attach to things, the first noble truth of reality, maybe your possession, your wealth, your loved ones, or things that you love and hold on to dearly. If you attach and cling without developing the appropriate clear Dhamma understanding to achieve them, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. That's why many affliction and negativity of karma can arise. Because you do it in the wrong way. Through attachment, through craving, through wrong view, you become angry. You become unhappy. You start to blame people. You start to hate people. You start to plan, to scheme, to deceive, to cheat, to misappropriate. All this leads to more and more evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this is born of wrong view, conditioned by wrong thoughts, sakyadity, self-delusion. So attachment is a result of wrong view, the personality that created the self that created the ego that conditioned the craving, leading to the attachment, the grasping and the clinging. Without craving, positive and negative, there is no suffering. Without delusion, there is no atta to condition craving. So self-delusion that condition the egoic mind is the main cause of suffering. So the egoic mind, which is the five mental aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect, you must have wisdom to use it. Otherwise, you will get yourself into trouble, entanglement. So the user of thought, which is the five aggregates of form and mind, is very useful, very important. That's why you must cultivate the first, second, and third turning wisdom to arise the initial wisdom, uniso manasikara, to enable you to use thought, to apply the Dhamma. Without the straightening of view, without cultivating of this initial wisdom, uniso manasikara, you cannot understand life. You don't know how to use the thought appropriately. You will always come out with your wrong thought, conditioned by your wrong view. And your wrong thought comes from your memories. But when you go through life since birth until now, you have accumulated a lot of rubbish in your memory. And what are your memories? Memories are your accumulation of experiences, good and bad. And they are mainly your views, opinion, born of your own conditioning and your own belief system, your tradition, maybe your racial background and all those things. So if you look at the way you experience life and you go through life, everything you come to encounter actually create conditioning in you and mold you. The way you attend school, kindergarten, the way your parents guide you, train you, your education system, the political system, the media, the newspaper, everything condition you. Then you mold your own views, opinion, and you live your life in accordance with that bundle of memory, which is holding on, accumulating all of your life experiences, which can be your scars of memory, your phobia, your insecurity, your deep resentment and unhappiness. So all these are negativity of mind state. And thought is respond to memories. So when you hold on to this memory without mindfulness, without heedfulness and the Dhamma understanding, you will act wrongly. You will act according to memory. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because memory are all of your fear, worry, anxiety, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your belief system. These are not wisdom. These are all wrong thought. Because it has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So if these are wrong thought, if it has the evil roots of greed and hatred and delusion, it will make you deluded. And when you are deluded, it will make you evil. Then they are not only evil roots, they are also called the three poisons. It will kill you spiritually. So spiritually, you don't stand a chance. That's the reason why you have to develop the meditative understanding. Be mindful, be heedful, be observant. Do not be heedless anymore. To see all these movements, how you are conditioned into all these various states of misery, affliction and suffering, and how the negativity of karma keep on arising. Why is your life so unstable, so unpredictable, so full of problems and misery? If you have walked the path correctly, cultivate the Dhamma correctly, your life will be very smooth, very beautiful. You are like very blessed. In layman's word, they say very lucky. It has nothing to do with luck actually. It's mainly your karma. If you have not taken care of karma, means you don't have the Dhamma. You don't understand life. So this first paragraph is very beautiful. Because of our attachment to things, many affliction and negativity of karma arise. Then the question is, how can we transform our affliction into the state of peace and freedom? This is meditation. This is Dhamma. So you listen. So he said, according to the author, I have shared my part, now we listen to the author. He said, you can transform by having love. You must have love in your heart. And then we must broaden that love. It is said, a loving heart brings blessing. So this is true. The more love there is, the more strength there will be. As we give more our love to others, blessing will come to us. When we can give without expecting anything in return, we feel happy. To do good deeds happily is to create blessing. So to me, this statement is very deep and very profound. If you don't understand the true meaning of that word love that she expressed, author expressed, you can never have the deep understanding of what she is trying to share with you. So, because of that, if a normal person without the Dhamma read this, you may not benefit much. But to you, what is love? You tend to use your mundane thinking, oh, I have love. I love my children. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my neighbor, my good friend, and all those things. But is that really love? You analyze it, the thought can even tell you. But when you have the Dhamma, you don't have to analyze. Because all these are conditioned love. Conditioned love means because they are your children, they are your loved ones. They have relationship with you. They treat you well. They respect you. They love you. They like you. That's why in return you love them. But if none of this happens, you may end up hating them, having a lot of argument, conflict, and misunderstanding with them. So that type of love is not what she is referring to. Love means without negativity. When you love, you just love. You love beyond the mark of who he is or who you are. Love is an expression of universal conduct. Out of love, I will just help people, save people, relieve their suffering. And because of love, I will be generous, I will be kind. I will do what I can to be a blessing to all. So there are many levels of expression of love. So if you don't give example, it's not easy for people to develop the understanding. That's the reason why I actually prefer real-life example. But now here, I think she gave one very good example. He said a young bone marrow donor came to see her after donating his marrow. He respectfully said to the master, he said, "Master, I am grateful to you." Then the master replied, "You have donated your bone marrow in response to Tsuchi's call. I am the one who should thank you. Why do you thank me?" He said, "Master, I am grateful to you because Tsuchi gave me the opportunity to save a person's life. It feels wonderful to have saved a life." Then the author or the master said she was moved to hear him say that. But she understood completely what he meant by "it feels wonderful or good to have saved a person's life." This young man did not know whom he would save. And he did not. And he did it without expecting anything in return. That's why the example is very good. He don't even want to know who he saved. If he can help save a life, it's very beautiful. And you all should try all these things. When I was young, I actually did quite a number of all these things. I remember I used to read up in the newspaper or from certain source that I received news that people need help, really need help. And I will just send donation and money to relieve suffering, to help out in whatever small way at that time, because that time I just came out to work. So I realized when I did those donations, money keep on coming back to me, you know, in various strange ways, you know. Somehow money will come back to you. Then later on, I told my brothers and sister. Then one of them, my younger brother, youngest one, which I managed to talk to him and turn him around. Well, he was actually a written-off kid. My mother used to tell me, he got 9 children. All of them ate very beautiful, successful, and developed their own life very well. Except this youngest one, which I think the gap was too big and my father pampered him too much. And he became like a spoiled child. Then he entangled himself with a lot of problems until my mother talked to me. He said, "If my youngest son can turn around, she will be the happiest mom in the world." So when I heard that, I said, "Okay," I said, "Mom, don't worry, I will go back and talk to him." And that year after I talked to him, he turned around. Those who have heard my story, they will know. And after he turned around, he remembered what I say, you know. Then he called me up again. He said, "I remember you told me when you make some money, you make donation, then the merits, the karmic reward is such. more and more welcome to you. I said, yes. Then he said, I also want to do. So he straight away tell me, he said, help me do. At first, not much, a few hundred ringgit. So that was a good start. Then he experienced it, more money come back to him. Then he wanted to do more. Then on and on, whenever he make good money, and most of these are investment and sometimes, of course, certain way, the money just come. But all these are legal, natural. So even recently, he make quite a bit of money. Then he called me up and said, I want to make donation some more. I said, how much? He said, 10,000. Oh, he said, good for you. But I don't have enough condition to make the full 10,000 donation. At the moment, I think I donated 6,000 for him. I still got 4,000 more to do charity in other ways. But it's beautiful enough, good enough. So these are the Dhamma that will help you when you understand. So when you are generous and kind, whatever you give to your nature, it will come to you. Have faith. Just do. Don't question. Don't be calculative. Don't go and analyze. How come I donate, nothing happened? Because of delusion. Because you only started cultivating this thing. If you have cultivated for a long time, then all this will manifest very fast. But if you have not, you just cultivate, how can there be condition for you to reap so far? Well, your negative karma, the amount of money you cheat people and deceive people, you haven't paid back. So it will not come back to you so fast. But have faith. When you have faith, it can manifest. Like my youngest brother, he saw it. That's why he believed. And he do. He do with joy. And I asked him that. Join Suji, which he has joined for the past 15 years. And he asked a lot of my brothers and sisters to go and help out too. That's why they do a lot of relief suffering program. And they help out in many ways. Not only in donation through generosity, but in their own service that they provide. They help coordinate, arrange, and sometimes they do the thing themselves. They go and become volunteer workers. Then recycling and all those things. You feel a lot of joy when you can contribute to society, to the environment, to people. When you can do certain things to relieve suffering, save life, you will have a lot of joy. And I felt very good when I did that, I remember during the early days. Especially, I like to help people with financial problem on education. That time, I don't know why. For me, like my father, I really have a lot of very strong liking to help people in education. Yeah, I know education is important. And people who cannot have education support because of poverty or circumstances, it is a pity, actually. So if there is affinity, there is condition, I will do it. In fact, there was one incident where all Kayamita participated, I remember, about, I think, 10 or years ago. There was a medical student who couldn't afford his education, Ames University, an Indian, I remember. We managed to raise, finally, through two or three trenches, a total of 100 over 1,000 to fund his medical degree education. And that was a great fit, really. He was so desperate, he wrote to everywhere he cannot find. Then suddenly, miraculously, through conditioning, the email came to me. We are one of the, I remember now, Wave, Pearly, sent the email to me. Then I saw Ames University, Sungai Petani nearby. Then last time I worked in university before, I know the procedure. So I call up the registrar and inquire whether genuine. Then I found out, yeah, genuine, there is such a student. and he was barred from exam, the first year final exam, because he got no more money to pay fees. He only paid the first term fee. So then after that, he didn't pay second term, third term, he didn't pay, he defaulted. Until they give him the ultimatum, then the letter, then they bar him from taking the exam. That's why he was so desperate. He wrote to everybody. Then when I call up, I confirm, then I call him. Then he was full of joy. I said, you go to your medical faculty, talk to the dean or your head of department, and say, I will undertake to raise the fund to pay the fees for that first year, the balance of it. But on condition, they immediately let you take the exam. I say within 2 or 3 weeks, I will guarantee to raise the money. And surprisingly and miraculously, the moment I send it out, straight away within 2 or 3 days, I raised about 40 to 50 thousand, which was more than enough to pay. Then I told him the rest I will keep for next year. Whenever they pressure you, you use this money to pay, then they let you take the exam. So you got time to finish your second year. But after this, you have to find your own way. I say you cannot depend on us alone. Then somehow he tried and he got some very small sponsors. Now he wrote to a lot of places. I think they got some pledge 5,000 a year, 3,000 a year, I think from various organizations, even the, I think their medical association of Malaysia was also pledged some money. Then there was one church also, I think, pledged some money, then state government. Then later on, I think third year he got problem again. Oh, then need to raise the final amount. I say, okay, you pass your third year, then I will raise for you. And we raise for him. And that time, because the money, the sum of money was much more, so I approached my university classmate. Well, straight away one person told me, he said, Teo, I will underwrite the balance. Well, immediately after one day, I already got the quota filled up. Then I said, can we do it this way? I will close it in 3 days, then whatever balance you underwrite. So I think he underwrite the balance. That's why very fast we raised the money, and he was full of joy. Then that student initially was not bad, quite good. He keep on like writing to me and explain to me what his courses are. That's why I know what a medical student go through. Then even there is this what they call before housemanship, there is this they call in MU, it's like third year, they send you to all the various department, the medical department, to go for clinical, they call it clinical, I think, clinical. Then he explained a lot of things to me, you know, until I like, wow, I don't have any children study medicine. But I say this one is like somebody like my son telling me what he do in the medical course. That's why I get to know that time a lot of things. And I was very, very amazed. Then filled with joy. Then until he graduated. Actually, his father passed away very early. A miserable kid. Then the mother washed clothes and raised him. And he went to a lot of places he can't get help. Really pitiful, but he is very determined. So the story finally end well, and he graduated, and he was full of joy, gratitude. Now I don't know where he is. The first posting, I remember he was sent to Sungai Petani, then after that, I lost contact after a few years. Okay, we go on. How did I reach that sharing on the medical one? Why did I go to that part? Can anybody? I say I like to help people's education. That's how I end up there. And that one was really A lot of Kayamita in my university classmates also full of joy in that time when we did that. Because it's like a project now. Oh, it's like a project. It gives you a lot of joy when you can help a poor guy with financial problem and standing to really go to his medical education. Then the way it's been done is because I had this understanding. If he graduated and became a doctor, he will have gratitude towards people who have helped him and make him become what he is. And he can contribute to the world. He, after that, can do a lot of goodness and wholesomeness to help others who are in need. So, on the surface, like you help one person, but this person can actually make a lot of difference to others. He can be a blessing to many. So all these are very beautiful examples. Then we read on. I often see Ciji volunteer caring for the sick. This is the author's side. Caring for the sick, the poor, and the suffering as if they are taking care of their own family members. Volunteers help wash their body and clean their house. These people's problem cannot be solved by just giving them money. The volunteer had to personally take action to show their selflessness, their selfless love, by opening their arms to embrace these people and letting them know that there is love in the world. So this is very useful. That's why people will have a lot of gratitude, a lot of joy. Then they will thank you profusely from the bottom of their heart. They will be in tears that in time of misery, suffering, problem, there are kind, generous people around to really help without any greedy motive behind. So this is real generosity or giving without expectation, without motive. They just do because they know this is something important to save humanity, to relieve human suffering, to bring about happiness and joy, and to change people's life for the better. So all these are beautiful Dhamma. So I will read on. The volunteer had to personally take action to show their selfless love by opening up their arms to embrace these people and letting them know that there is love in the world. We give our sincere and genuine love to all living beings. This love is unconditional. See, the word is unconditional. Like the love of a parent or a bodhisattva. The unconditional love not only exists in Taiwan, it has also spread around the world. No matter where Ciji volunteer immigrate to, they carry the seed of love with them and spread these seeds to their local community. They contribute money and manpower to carry out Ciji work. With determination, strength, and resources, this regional office and local service center can make an impact on people's lives. They conduct disaster relief and charity work in the name of Taiwan Buddhist Ciji Foundation. Therefore, people around the world know that Ciji comes from Taiwan. Prior to each relief distribution, volunteers will also read aloud a letter from me, letting the recipient know that we are giving with utmost sincerity and that this love comes from Ciji volunteers all over the world. Love is a very influential and powerful force. For example, at our relief centers for tsunami survivors in Sri Lanka, volunteers came over from Singapore, Malaysia, Canada, the United States, and Taiwan. The disaster area was quite large, and a lot of people need help. The relief material needed sorting and packing so that it could be distributed fairly to families of different sizes. Also, free clinics were conducted at the distribution site. It is not hard to imagine how difficult the work was with so much to do and such limited manpower. Luckily, a gentleman showed up in time to help. His name was Bodhisattva, and his action truly lived up to his name. He brought along with him over 50 remarkable young people. They helped put Suji's logo on their relief goods and repack rice into smaller bags. They also carry bags of rice and other things of the old and for the old and weak during the relief distribution. They really help a lot. The work of Suji volunteer touched the local, so much so that many AIDS recipients volunteered their help as well. This is the testimony of how Suji volunteer has touched the hearts of people in other countries through their love they show to those in need. Means when you are sincere, when you do it sincerely, you can touch the heart of many. And people can see that you really have this sincere intention. Because you came from so far without motive, you just help and you just volunteer. You also pay for your own flight ticket. If people come to know, they will say, where got such people on earth? These are rare species. Most people will tell you, extinct already, you cannot find them. But people with the Dhamma, with the heart of a Bodhisattva, the true Suji volunteer that believe in all this wholesomeness, they can do. They exist. They do exist. And they are everywhere now, all over the world. So in 1977 in Taiwan, after Typhoon Tema caused great damage to Ping Tong and Kaohsiung, Suji volunteer from Hualien and Taipei took the initiative to travel to South Taiwan to help with the relief effort. At that time, many civil service employees were also affected by the typhoon. So we had difficulty obtaining the list of disaster survivors from the local municipal office. For several days, we waited at the municipal office early in the morning and received no response. One of the volunteers from Taipei became angry and asked, "Master, why should we wait here every day and be snubbed by them?" I said, "Did anyone ask you to come?" Then he said, "No, they didn't. We are here to solicit information from the government in order to help those who lost their home and have nothing left." So after hearing this, he thought for a moment and calmed down. Everyone then continued with the relief work without complaint or regrets. So this is something that you must learn. Your attitude, your emotion, and your reaction. Even as a volunteer, you also can become frustrated, unhappy, and you will have this type of wrong thought. Because when you lack the depth of understanding of Dhamma, you lack patience, you cannot understand. All these are the various conditions. Sometimes it's a test, it's a training. You have to understand. If after a little bit of maybe and small happening, yeah? Then you become affected, afflicted, unhappy. Then you decide not to do, because the ego is still there. You think, "I'm here to help and these people is not interested. Why should I help?" So this is the egoic mind, the thought speaking. This is not the one that has the Dhamma, the wisdom, the understanding. The one that has the wisdom and the understanding will know We need to be patient because we are here to genuinely help. We are here to seek people's assistance to give us the list of names so that we can do work, so that we can do our part, play our role. So all this is Dhamma. That's why whatever you do, even as volunteer, there is Dhamma you can learn. So these are things that life can actually bring forth the understanding and the experience. I will continue. Because of this typhoon, we had the opportunity to establish a Tsuji branch office in Ping Tong. One day, a local elder told me, "Master, I believe Tsuji will become the world's largest family." I asked him why he thought, wait, I read again, the English is not very good, I think. I asked him why he thought this way, the word way is different. He explained that he had this thought because he witnessed how Tsuji volunteered, humbled themselves and gave unconditionally to help the typhoon victim. Despite the long distance, they travel all the way from Hualien and Taipei to help the people of Kaohsiung and Ping Tong. For several decades, Tsuji consistently upheld the spirit of giving generously. Tsuji volunteers consider giving to be their duty, so they donate money and manpower generously. This is unconditional giving. In the Buddhist teaching, there is the concept of the three spheres of emptiness. The notion of the giver, receiver, and the object being given are all essentially empty. So this one is noma, as one cannot exist without the others. This teaches us not to dwell on the thought that we are the giver. Instead, we should regard giving of ourselves as something we must naturally do. This is the state of non-self, but they use the word no-self, which makes no distinction between the giver and the receiver. In Chinese, Tsuji volunteer call aid recipient those who are grateful to. What is the Mandarin word? Is it kan en? Mommy, where is mommy? I need to call my wife. Anybody who know how to read the Mandarin word?
Kan en hu.
Oh, kan en hu.
En hu. Jia hu hu de hu.
Oh, okay, thanks. Okay, too liao. Ingbi have to read it. Those who are grateful to. Kan en hu.
We are grateful. Hu.
Hu. Kan en hu. Hey, lao pa lai.
Household.
Jie xie mei kan en hu. How many is lu? And both volunteers and recipients are mutually grateful. This is the understanding of non-discrimination between people. When we help those in need, we do not dwell on the material good or the amount of relief supply given. Giving of ourselves is like walking. When we take a step forward with one foot, we must lift up the other in order to move forward. The Heart Sutta say, if we have no attachment or affliction, we will be free of fear and we will avoid confusion and illusion. And this is very true. Without attachment, you will be without affliction and you will be without fear, without suffering. We do not do good deeds for the sake of recognition, nor for praise or respect. Rather, doing good is our duty. The material we give to recipients are limited, yet by allowing us to witness their suffering, these recipients lead us to realize the impermanence of life and existence. That there are many invisible, eh? I think something wrong, eh? They jump off the page. And that there are many invisible and inconceivable truths in the world. Thus we begin to awaken. Their suffering is a very valuable lesson for us. That's what I meant by you can learn from life. Life is our greatest teacher. You can observe, feel, then become more sensitive. Then you understand more how people feel when they really receive sincere aids, help, offerings. And this will touch their heart, and in future they will also respond equally with that gratitude and generosity. Then one day, if they become successful, they will come back. They will come back. I finish off the last sentence. Huh? I haven't finished yet. I will finish off the last paragraph. Okay. Without these suffering beings, how could we train ourselves to become living bodhisattva? So this is the message. Yeah? Thus, there is another special characteristic of the Tzuchi spirit of great love. Not only do we give unconditionally to help suffering beings around the world, we also thank them for giving us the opportunity to serve and save people. So this is very true, because my brother used to tell me also when he will help out in this relief suffering. He said because there were occasions where many of these nature's disasters, I think, happened in the northern state of Kedah, the rural area. I think flood and many other things. Sometimes due to hurricane or severe wind condition. Then when they went and do the relief suffering, then they thank the villager. They say kanan, kanan, gratitude. Then they responded. He said, how come you all have gratitude towards us? It should be us having gratitude towards you all, because you all were so kind, so generous, so genuine and sincere. You bring offering to relieve our suffering. You really help us. Then the Tzuchi member responded, is it? It is because of you all with such karmic condition that I was able to have the condition to do. Without you all with such karmic condition, we don't have the condition to do. That's why we have this gratitude towards you. Oh, then they start to understand. Anyway, they say, we also have gratitude towards you for sincerely coming all the way to help us to relieve suffering. Then on seeing all this, the local people also started to help out. Then in Indonesia, I was told, because the people there were very poor and it was a different religion, so it's very difficult to make them understand. So what they did was, they don't have enough manpower, so they hire the local people by paying them. Understand? I think not much, because in Indonesia they were very poor. But they were very happy because they received wages. Yes, in that tsunami time, I think in the year 2004 and all, Aceh and all things, a lot of disruption, a lot of what they call nature's disaster that actually wiped off a large area of Aceh. And there were a lot of suffering, misery. So this nature's calamity, especially the tsunami, was so severe, and they were so poor and so backward. So Tzuchi go all out until the local people later on understand. And they really allow Tzuchi to set up their organization, then even have their TV station, Tai Tai and all those things. Then there were a lot of joy. then it bring about more and more understanding and friendship. So this is how an organization who is sincere, genuine, really generous and able to relieve suffering and help humanity and the environment, they can bring forth tremendous change to the world and to the attitude of people. So goodness, when expressed, can be experienced by fellow living beings. But we need more and more of this organization and people. At the moment, although Ceci has gone global worldwide, but her impact is still limited. So a lot more organization can also come out and do similar things. But it's not easy to establish such a network with a group of sincere volunteers that has the same mission and understanding. That's why we need more and more Bodhisattva, Ren Jian Pusa, Bodhisattva within society, within the world. Okay, 4:20, just nice, we can stop here. Then we can have our 45 minutes of meditation. Then after that, we will continue with the meditation reporting and question and answer and other type of chat. Okay, thank you. You're off the light. Then you can have 45 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Always remember, relax body and mind at ease. Don't try to know, don't do anything, just let things be. Thought arise, let it arise. Don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything. Just silent your mind and observe. Observe without the observer. Can you do it? That is mindfulness, that is awareness. That's a relax and maintain awareness. Just aware. Don't try to know. Just aware. The awareness will know. The awareness will understand. The awareness will develop the meditative mind. Without thought, you are already aware. That's why you just let things be. Relax. Let things be. Then maintain the silence within the awareness. Then you will start to experience the thinking or sankhara aspect slowing down. Then like Po Cheng Liao and others who have experienced, suddenly after a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and some maybe 30 minutes, you will experience a shift in consciousness. Like all of a sudden, the thinking becomes so quiet, so subtle. You can feel the difference. Then you know you are moving into another stage of silence within. Based the thinking all has slowed down. You experience a shift of consciousness which is less agitated, less sankhara, less thinking, less activity. It is more tranquil, more peaceful, more quiet. Then you continue to relax, then let it continue to silent until it become very quiet and very still, until there is no more thinking, no more sankhara, no more movement. That is your true mind. Then stay with that awareness, just stay with it, stabilize it. Then you will come to realize later on, the thinking from there is very fast. When you try to know, when you try to ask question or even inquire, the thought come out already. So forget about it. Don't do anything, just let it be silent. Now, experience the tranquility, the stillness, the silence of a free mind first. Then understand clearly and deeply what is this self-awareness. What is this true mind without thought? What is the awareness nature all about? That is meditation. So start from there. Then later on, when you are able to understand that, stabilize that, then your meditation will progress. You will understand many things. Your awareness is very powerful. The awareness is wisdom energy. It can understand many things. It can see many things. It is very sensitive. It has clarity. And without thought, without the sankhara activity, there is nothing to cloud your true mind. That's why your true mind can shine forth, can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can perceive without words, can understand many things, just like what Po Cheng has described to you all. So have faith and just do. Okay? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Because these mind states that you have trained and developed, which is the inner mindfulness, the awareness within, the silent, tranquil mind. This is the mind that you need to use to live life. And you can stabilize all these mind states to develop the daily mindfulness so that you can also be in this state of mind throughout the day. That is the trained mind that you need to develop the stability of daily mindfulness. If in the midst of life you cannot be mindful, heedful, you don't stand a chance. So if in the form of meditation you cannot stabilize it, it's not easy to stabilize it in daily life. So daily mindfulness is not so straightforward or easy. You need to really work towards it. You must have a good religious routine so that most of the time you are aware and mindful. Start with simple activity and movement within your house. Then extend it out to your daily activity or career. If you are a housewife, means the daily work or household chores that you do. You have to go to office, then whatever activity that you do while in the office, you have to maintain mindfulness throughout the day, even at meeting. Then at discussion, while you do your work, maintain awareness, mindfulness. Even nowadays, most people are with the computers, with your handphone, you can maintain awareness while doing it. So the ability to be mindful and aware throughout the day is very useful, very important. And this is what daily mindfulness is all about. You need to stabilize them until it is a part of you, until your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, then you are more stable already. Means your mind has this ability to be aware that everything you do is with sati. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, the sati is there. You see with sati, you hear with sati, smell, taste, tactile, every movement, activity, the sati is there. That's how your mind becomes different. Your mind becomes quiet, peaceful, tranquil. It has the clarity and the understanding. And it is always aware, mindful, silent. And this mind can understand many things, can insight into phenomena, can awaken and develop the understanding and the wisdom. So this is what meditation is all about. Okay, now we can come to the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. So the question can be in any form, Q&A or whatever that you want to understand. Alicia, yes.
Brother.
Yeah.
想明白一下吧啦、
啊
哦、
可以可以没问题、
我 有一那天我躺在地上after 我的 exercise actually 我在 exercise then after that 我 look up to the sky 啊，感觉它在我的隔壁哦，为什么会这样？
你 do what type of exercise？
我在做我的好像 yoga 这样啦。After that、
okay.
我就躺着 relaxation 做。
啊，不知道。
Then after that 我一，
你在家里面还是还在 garden？
在家外面。
哦，家外面呢、啊？The veranda there。
啊，来一个 ，actually 不是在我家，我在一个。how to say 一个 holiday home 这样，
哦、oh, ，OK，
very quiet，、okay. 它的 setting，、没有人的整个山只、
okay.
一间家这样子，然、
okay.
后在我一 look up 哦，哎，这样奇怪的，然后我就想问
，into the sky 啊，
啊，我这样子 ，actually 我人是躺着的，然后我只是这样 look up 罢了，就感觉啊，那个 sky is very near。就好像我在我的头顶上这样，所以我想问 Virgil 有没有这样子的
Never mind one, because sometimes the perception can be like that, you have to go through it. Because unless something happens, then it can let you develop wisdom and understanding. You just assume it's part of the training. Yeah, sometimes perception can vary. So whatever that arises, is how you perceive it, then next time, don't be excited by it, just silent, relax.
Yeah, actually.
The silent and relax is the awareness that will understand. So next time, any of these experiences arise, you just relax into it, silent. And then you will understand what it is. Sometimes it's meant to be, it's a message. Or whatever. Because perception can happen, can vary. Sometimes for no reason, you can have certain type of perception that just come. Because the mind is not something that people can understand. When you are in the state of transformed consciousness, things can manifest, can happen. So, 没事的, just let it be, like part of the way. Then if you want to know, you just relax into it, silent. Then find out. The way to find out is to develop the silent mind. The silent mind will allow you to understand the real thing. Then sometimes it is meant for certain understanding. Then it will unfold. Then you can experience it. Let it be. Then let it unfold. So sometimes if it's just a perception, then just let it pass. 没事的。It lasts for a while only, 是吗？一阵子罢了，是吗？
一阵子罢了，然后你懂我们的那个 perception 就为什么会这样啊？就是这样子。
That's why when you ask that question, it become an analysis. You try to analyze it. You are not investigating. 因为为什么会这样啊？ Is a question, and that question is based on.Analysis, even if you try to use your thought to understand, that's why I say that one cannot give you the answer. That one maybe can give you some suggestion or idea or whatever. But when you silence your mind, you are not analyzing with the thought. You find out what actually happened. Yeah. That's why I see that next time if it happens, you want to understand, relax into it, then silent. Then whatever that thing is, it will start to understand. Because perception is a manifestation, actually. And sometimes, 你会有那种感觉, it can happen. Yeah, it will be as if like, the sky is very near to you, but that is the way you perceive it at that moment, due to certain condition. Then sometimes it's like you are with the whole thing, oneness.Then sometimes it's like you are above at the sky, that level, where you can perceive you are in space. It can happen. Perception can happen in many forms. Then sometimes it can arise certain type of very out of the ordinary perception. Certain people can see images like Nanette photo. But when you are calm, tranquil and quiet, all this will manifest. Then you have to understand perception is unreal. It's condition arising also. So find out, silence your mind and find out. 了解了是吗？Hello?
Yeah, 不然就我知道，其实我知道我不够 silent, 不够 relax.
Yeah, 不是 next time 你要了解你就 silent and find out. Otherwise just let it be, it's just an experience. 就好像你静坐的时候 suddenly the mind become very quiet, very peaceful, you are not thinking. That is because the shift of consciousness has happened. So you want to find out more, you continue to relax into it and silent. Then you understand more. Then you realize when the mundane mind is not doing all those things, then you become peaceful, you become quiet. You start to have the ability to experience the self-awareness within, the nature within, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And that is the one you have to stabilize more and more, more and more. Then when that one arises, actually all this perception cease. But when you're silent, you can also find out why. Because after that, you can open your eye, then see whether it returns to normal perception or not, normal consciousness or not. When you are back to normal consciousness, it's different. You become conscious again, the awareness no more. You come out of it already. Then your senses function again. Then you start to be normal again. Then like you went through, when you are deep in that state, you are not conscious, but you are just aware. Then you have to come out of that state. Then only you start to become aware again. Then after that moment only, everything become like clear to you again and normal to you again. When you are in that state of awareness, the shift of consciousness and the awareness level can be very different. So it depends on the individual, how deep they went into it and how silent they are, how relaxed they are. So we have to find out through that silent awareness meditation. So if you don't do it often, stabilize it, you cannot find out. And to find out is to be patient. Don't try to know. Where the awareness will understand by itself. And then as you deepen that nature's understanding, as you are able to illuminate that self nature or inner nature, it will become different again. Then it will become more and more clear. Then your heart area will start to open up more and more, more and more. Then your transformation of consciousness will continue to move, will continue to evolve. Then it become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, more and more fine. Then you will go through many level of shift, transformation that only the cultivator will know. So just relax, maintain awareness, and experience whatever that arise. Then the understanding will unfold by itself. Good. You should actually continue to relax. Like you mentioned, when you do your yoga, you are already actually exercising in a very relaxed manner. Then when you are so relaxed and silent, then when you look up, the perception can be different. Yeah? You are not in the conscious level. So that perception can happen. Then after that, when you try to know, the thought come back. And you are back to normal perception. So the best way is to accept the reality for what it is. Then you want to find out, silent. Next time it happens, silent and find out for yourself. Otherwise, just let it pass. Everything is part of the training, part of the way, part of nature's condition. When condition is like that, things will be like that. Then you will experience many things that normal people wouldn't experience. The most important is whatever you experience, does it bring about clarity? Does it bring about wisdom and understanding? And that one is more important. Otherwise, this sudden perception shift or happening, if it's not useful, just let it pass. Okay, Sese, thanks for the sharing.
Okay,
Sese, thank you. 还有就是，
我在 sitting 有一个 experience， 就好像 Bradio 讲的，他从好像就是 heart area， 好像从后面那个头那边，然后我 feel 到一个 movement， 这样从后面进去我的 brain 这样子 activate 这样。
哦，不用紧啊 ，let it happen 啊 ，let it happen 啊 ，because it can activate many area。We are from the heart there, it can activate many areas. Then that thing will move on. That's why trust. Don't every time want to stay there. No. Trust your nature. Then the nature will detect by itself. Then it will move to different areas, different places. Then it will activate that area that need to be activated. Then when you are able to stabilize that thing, then locate the gateway.Then when the energy move in, it will do by itself. The yin and yang energy will melt into pure energy and do by itself. So just let it be aware and see how it move. Where that movement is without any interference from the thought. That's why it is called trust, the fourth support. So you just continue to silence your mind away at the heart area. Then,whatever that happened, let it be, then just maintain awareness there. Then when you maintain awareness, means you are most of the time aware without thought. That is what heedfulness is all about. So when you are in that state, that awareness nature with that wisdom energy will transform you and you will become different. Then without you knowing over time, your understanding of things starts to happen, then naturally that transformation of consciousness, which is mainly awareness based, will actually give rise to the condition for a lot of understanding or wisdom to unfold. Then you suddenly like can understand many things. The thing you hear become different again. That is like you can penetrate that level.That earlier on you cannot penetrate. Then the deeper Dhamma you can understand, which other people cannot understand. So all this can happen. That's why the power of awareness is very different. When you can just silence and develop the awareness, stay with it until very clear, very subtle. Because as you are relaxed and aware, everything will become more and more quiet and more subtle, more and more fine. Then things can happen by itself. That's how the nature can meditate by itself. Then the nature can awaken, can understand, can insight into phenomena and develop its own understanding. So this is what meditation is all about. So a lot of people don't know, they thought,Once they can detect the silent mind, the happy everything, they are very contented, very happy. But don't be complacent, yeah? That is just the beginning. Although it's good progress, it's your sati has reached that level of stability. Then you can do it like poaching they all and yourself and even Brother Chong, Kaiwan, they all.They can be aware of the heartbeat most of the time, then later on all the time. So you have to train, develop this until the stability become very stable. And that sati is the one that actually do the meditation and brings about the understanding and the transformation. So,It is very useful and very important to continue to stay with that awareness until in the midst of life, daily awareness, you are always aware from inside, from that nature out. So just follow my instruction to you you just relax into it and let it be. Then wherever you go, be away, silent, stay there, away. And then it will activate, then it will move. Then later on, wherever it takes you, you just be with it, like Colin says, stay with it. Then let it become more and more quiet, more and more subtle. You relax into it and don't do anything, it will become more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then until you have another, then like Jing experience, suddenly the heartbeat also gone. And then you will move into another level of consciousness, which is very different. So all this, the cultivator will go through, will pass through. Okay? Yeah? Yes.
Yes. Amitofo, Bradio, and all Kayanitas.
Yes.
Bradio, I want to kind of like report about meditation.
Ah, good. Sadhu.
Lately, the meditation has also changed, I noticed. Yes. The meditation changed in such a way that the heartbeat is very, very soft.
Very subtle, yes. Very quiet.
Mm-hmm. So it's just aware. And then after that it switched, you know, it switched to awareness of the breath, you know.
Okay, then
it just done by itself.
Your subtle breathing will become very clear to you. Last time, subtle breathing, you cannot feel them when like you got no breath, but now it comes back to you.
Yes. So it switched from the heart to the breath.
Yeah,
and
you do it.
Clearer and clearer. The funny thing is, it just continue. I mean, everything is like done by itself, lah.
It is a natural movement. The awareness of that subtle breathing will happen by itself. Then you realize you can just stay there.
Yes.
Your mind doesn't move on. It's aware. It's fully aware.
Correct.
It can hear things. It can smell things. It can be aware of many things. But you just
Then
let it become more and more stable, more and more refined. You will come to realize your breath is a very important what they call prajna tool. Prajna means that energy that you derive from your breathing. They call it the prajna energy. Prajna energy is actually part of nature's energy. So when that prajna movement is so subtle and you are mindful and aware, you realize you draw a lot of that energy into your nature. And it becomes very beautiful. And these are what they call nascent energy. In Mandarin, there's an explanation. I think there is a word they use. I saw this swordsmanship, the show. They say it's 天地元气. You have to detect that nascent energy of nature. Within nature, that energy exists. You can only detect it when you are silent and aware. That show is not bad. That show is about cultivator, 修行者. But their cultivator is to cultivate very fantastic swordsmanship and fantastic special ability. So that one is, they use the word mindfulness. So they start with basic level, they say initial mindfulness. Then they go into perception level. Then they go into, when you pass through that one, then no more doubt. that see-through level and all, they got many levels. And it's quite interesting because it may not be the exact Buddhist meditation, but the level that they manifest is the way they explain it. And the first level is the initial mindfulness to detect the nature's yanqi, tian di yanqi, they call it the nascent energy. So prana is one of the nature's yanqi, tian di yanqi. So you can draw that. I remember at that time, I silent and do that, then I switch off my awareness also sometimes and stay there. I recuperate and heal very fast, very fast. I just silent everything, then let that nascent energy come in. When I was young, I do that a lot. Then later on, it's more for health and transformation of consciousness. Then that thing is very useful, Pocheng, very good. You just continue to relax into it and maintain that awareness of that subtle breathing. Let it happen. Then you realize you can stay there like you stay at the heart one, very easier. Then that one is different. Because that one, when you do that subtle breathing, it give you, it draw that type of energy. But when you are at the heart, it's different. Because this is the life force energy. It's another type of energy, but it's very good. This life force energy is very pure. Very pure. Where it comes from the karmic nature. Then that one, when it goes through the gateway, it becomes pure energy. So that one, you can like, when it comes, because this life force energy is the pulse of light. So this is the life force that you can use to live life. So most people don't know how to use. So most of the life force went into pumping the heart, sending the blood all around. Then they use that extra life force energy for thinking. Then a lot of people wasted it on emotion, like your negative emotion, your fear, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappy mind. That's why there is no wholesome mind state. So that one will create suffering, stress. Then you like age very fast. Then you like become sick, chronic, and all those things. But if you know how to silence and reverse all this, then that life force energy, you can actually send initially, I remember I did it, almost 90% into my nature. Because I switch off my senses. I straight away aware of the life force pump. Of course, no sound, huh? It's just aware. Then the whole thing, almost 90% went into my nature. But of course, there is some amount of that life force need to pump the blood. That one still go on. Understand? But I do not waste it on thinking. I do not waste it on emotion, sankara activity, negativity of mind. And my mind is most of the time aware, mindful, tranquil, still. That is the mind that will become different. You will transform. And during that time, I remember my health was perfect. But this thing has been going on for the last 31 years. So after 31 years, like Po Yong, you continuously have that type of pure energy and that mind state. If after that you can still get sick, means that one may not even help you that much. But I know how to recover. I still know how to recover quite fast. I only need to relax and silence, then I will recover. But the body is just the body, always remember. It goes the way of nature. It is part of nature. So you cannot attach and cling to this body, because this body goes the way of nature. No matter whatever it is, just like the we call it what? Po-yok in English is called nutrient. It's not nutrient, it's more than that. Health supplement or what they call that nourishes your health on. If you have not been practicing, suddenly you take, then it has a lot of good effect on you. Like if you seldom take multivitamins, or you seldom take supplement or nourishment, or the Chinese medical herbs that actually improve your health and your organ. If you take them for the first few times, it's very effective one. You can feel the effect, the improvement. But after you have take it constantly, like multivitamin or supplement, then the system become like used to it. Then if you continue to take too long, it may not serve any more improvement or purpose anymore. Because it's just like you short of vitamin C, you take vitamin C, you recover, then that's it. Then you continue to take additional vitamin C, it may not help you already, like scurvy or whatever. But certain type of vitamin like D and all those things, you need it almost every now and then, you need it. And then that one different, you can take the supplement. But the body is the body. When it reach that age, it will go through the process of decay or old age, then it can get sick. Then finally, the consciousness will separate, because there is a limited lifespan of all the organ. Then when you use it often, wear and tear, it will still deteriorate. But if you have the understanding and the good mind state, you don't have the karmic condition for you to like parinibbana or pass away earlier, then this one may last you longer. It's like you know how to maintain your car, it will last you longer. So all this, you will develop the understanding as you go through, which is very good. Sadhu to you, for sharing.
Yes, sadhu, Bharatiya. So Bharatiya, this description that you mentioned, right, is really true. After that, right, as I say, it was like naturally automatic by itself. Yeah. And then when I come out of it, my whole body is like very refreshed, rejuvenated.
Rejuvenated. You have recovered, rejuvenated, and recuperated. You have rested very long, and you feel very fresh and very alert, clarity.
Yes.
And you are very peaceful, very calm, very quiet, very tranquil.
Yes, exactly. That is how I feel when I come out of it. Wow, it's amazing, you know.
Yeah, you will continue to experience a lot of new amazing things. That's why my nature rejoices. That's why you go out, relax and go in. Then all this will manifest, will happen. Sadhu.
Sadhu. Thank you, Brother Theo.
Sadhu. Let us rejoice with Alicia and Po Cheng.
Sadhu.
So thank you for your good sharing. It will benefit other Kayanamitas too. It will give them faith. Very good. Anything else, Pocheng?
The other thing is I also experienced the direct seeing while I'm doing my cooking,
Sadhu, very good. You have the ability already. Your mind is in that state of awareness. It can. Then you will come to realize another thing. Almost every now and then or every day, you will understand the Dhamma on its own through life. A lot of understanding just unfold, and like very amazing, very interesting. Because last time, you never have the ability to understand all this. Last time is reaction, the mind stirred. And now no more. Now, actually all this is for you to develop the understanding. Because when you are aware, you can see many things that is beyond. Your mind no longer, like last time, just react, stir, habitual tendency, no more. Because that thing doesn't exist anymore. That clarity, that mindfulness is so different. It's so amazing. Like everything is so beautiful. You can learn from everything. Even when you knock something, you don't get unhappy anymore. Because you know the body is a body. When it hit, I used to explain to you, I hit something very hard. I think it's a metal piece on my leg. Actually, normal people would have yelled very painful one. But I can feel the awareness of that sensation, and I just laugh and smile. That's why you react differently. You behave differently. There are a lot of things, even when people like accidentally spill water on you or do something on you, you will just smile. Oh, it's okay. You will not react to it and get angry anymore, because that thing happened already. You know that, you know, it's meant to be conditioned like that, things to be like that. So these are related to the past, and these are very minor things. So you will come to understand you are completely different, and you learn more and more. Then you become very, very sincere, very honest. Then people like pay you extra through changes or what, like you go and buy something, they change. You will not be greedy. You will just smile, then you will return the money and tell them, I think you have made a mistake. Then they will be amazed. They look at you, oh, this world still got such honest people, such sincere people. A lot of these things will happen. Then I start to, through this sensitivity and transformation, and when I start to see, like what you saw, your old habitual tendency that last time we developed without our understanding that time, you start to see them, that this habit is still with you. Then later on you realize certain type of habit which is useful and no negativity, you can still maintain, like what you like to eat and all, not a problem. It's no more craving already. That's why when we travel on spiritual trip, they know if they leave it to me to order, I will order those few things that I like. But if there is no condition to have, it's okay. I will just accord and flow. Then I say whatever they have will do, not a problem. So all this you will understand. That's how I came to understand. Good food you can eat if there is condition. Why do you fear good food? That is not craving. Craving is when there is no condition to have, also you want. And then there is craving, there is desire. Then you want things your way. But you cannot accord and flow. You cannot understand what nature is. So through all this, you will learn a lot of things. Yeah. Then every moment of sense perception, again, different now. You start to understand many things. Then you can just sit down and do nothing and perceive nature and perceive your own house or whatever, or your car or whatever. Then you will have the joy inside, the gratitude, the understanding. Then like my daughter and I contemplate the condition. How difficult is it for this to happen? Because there's so many conditions must fall into play, and then only it happens. There are a lot of things that happen in nature, you start to understand. It's no more by chance, because it has to follow a nature's law that is so beautiful, so marvelous. Like your condition, how you transform, you never dream that it will happen. You never expect all this can happen. So when you reflect back and recall after you transform, all this will come back to you. Then you will know. Who are you? What are you in the past, very likely, and how you become what you are. So all this you reflect back, you start to understand the causes and conditions behind. That's why Dhamma keep on unfolding, understanding keep on unfolding. Then that time you transform, you learn very fast, because that nature transforms you. So that one is very useful, Wujing, sadhu to you.
Sadhu.
Experience all these things.
Sadhu.
Last session, yes. I already told you, don't worry. You will experience more and more amazing things. But once your mind transforms, all these things happen by itself. No need to learn from anybody, no need to. Because when you are in that state of awareness, the awareness is the one that has the wisdom energy to let you understand and transform you. Like last time I told Song, technically you don't need a teacher, but you need a guide, or inverted comma, a teacher without authority to guide you, because they have gone through their experience. So they will let you have the understanding. Then for you, I'm not scared in telling you advance, because you will not cling to my words. But you know how to evolve your own understanding. You know how to silence, relax, when the awareness, then whatever movement, you can actually share it to your own self, and you are very confident. You use your own word, and when you do it correctly, my nature know. That's why you are so far one of the most beautiful parameter around. Huh? Sadhu, do you? Huh?
Sadhu. Thank you.
Amitabha. Okay, I think near to 6 o'clock already, we can do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit, then we can end. Huh? Before that, we rejoice for a final time. Huh? Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.